I have the swine flu.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's October 8th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 137.
This is No Agenda.
Jamming the frequencies of the power and lower vibrations so you can ascend to the light with ease. And coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in Gitmo Nation, West San Francisco, California. In the morning, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's actually going to be a foggy day, they say, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yo.
Today's show is executive produced by John Schumann.
Of the Schumann television family of networks. Who the hell is that?
He's the guy who gave us the most money.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. You get pre-credits, pre-roll. Credits if you donate the most money. I like that. We hadn't even discussed that, John, but I think it's a good idea.
I knew you would like it.
Yeah.
So because it involves the words the most money.
Yeah, yes, the most money. I took your advice yesterday morning, Johnny boy.
And?
Because, of course, you know, we're under threat of eminent domain removal here.
Oh, yes.
And the TJPA, the Transbay Joint Powers Authority. Your government at work, abusing eminent domain, night and day.
Yes,
so they have to adhere to the city ordinance of no construction noise between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m., 7 days a week, I might point out, in San Francisco. And so at 6:45, you know, I could hear the trucks backing up, they're loading stuff, so... I did two things. As you suggested, I called the police, and they were like, yeah, all right.
One of my major suggestions.
One of your major suggestions. And then after 8 a.m., which is when they when their office is opened, I called up and spoke to, I might as well blast her, Mila Gonzalez, who was very apologetic. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, like I said, hey, look, you know, I'm right across the street. Here's the issue. There's a city ordinance, and 7 o'clock is not 6:45. So please take note of that. Oh yeah, no, I'll call right over. So this morning they started at 6:30 instead of 6:45.
So this is typical.
So your advice is panning out as just beautifully,
so
John.
Did you call?
No, I haven't called him yet because you know we're starting the show at 8 o'clock. Hello. John?
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, I got you. You cut out.
Okay.
It sounded like your mic wire cut out for a second there.
No, I'm telling you, this connection sucks. But anyway, unless you're a squeaky wheel, they're going to test you. So what happens is you call and say, oh, really? I wonder if this guy's really sincere. And so then they put the screws to you. And then now what you're supposed to do is bitch again. And then you start hounding the cops. And then the cops get really steamed up about it. And then the next thing you know, they're giving these guys parking tickets.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to call up Mila and ask her what part of 7 a.m. she didn't understand. And then I'm going to tell her, I'm going to shut you down, bitch! You think that'll work?
No, it sounds like you got an echo button. That was good.
No, that was just me yelling throughout the entire box that we live in. That was the echo.
So I think you should call her and then tell her you decided not to call the police today, but you because you trusted her.
Yeah, I trusted you.
And run a guilt trip on her.
Yeah, and but you know, my next call will be to Gavin Newsom. And... And oh, by the way, did you hear about the Indian burial ground that's supposed to be there? I still think that's your best. That's the best idea you've had. Do you have a skull somewhere I can borrow that I can just toss into that dirt there? And
you know, I have a bunch of them around the house, but I keep displacing them.
I know you. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to this program, that is not a joke. I am convinced John C. Dvorak has human skulls lying around the house.
You prop them up and you can kind of make them into a small pyramid and you can use them as a hassock.
What's a hassock? What's that?
Yeah, you put your feet up while you're watching TV.
Oh. I would like to remind everybody that this is the program where we don't pull any punches. No, we have a whole formula that works exactly the opposite from pulling punches.
Our formula is this. We go out. We hit people in the mouth.
Especially if you're with the Transbay Joint Powers Authority. Squarely in the jaw.
So that clip, of course, is Mike Singletary, the coach of the San Francisco 49ers, who I'm more amused now that the team has actually gotten off to a really great start, because this is a little off topic, but for football fans, they'll get a kick out of it. So this guy was like brought. They had, the last coach they had was so bad they fired him in the middle of the season last year because he couldn't win a game. So they took this defensive coach, which is Mike Singletary, who's this famous linebacker from the Chicago Bears, who's a very intense person, as you can tell by that quote, and put him in charge temporarily, let him take over, and then you know, then he won all the games the rest of the year. So they said, "Well, I don't know. What do you think we should do? Should we rehire him as the coach?" And it was like there was a big controversy over this with all these pundits. He's got no experience,
even though he was kicking ass,
despite the fact. So anyway, so they did give him the job, and now he's like proving that. Now nobody mentions the fact that this was controversial.
Yeah. I would like to point out this is episode 137 of this program that John and I have been producing for you, along with our listeners, who, of course, are producers, and the one who gives us the most money is the executive producer of the episode. If you had listened to us, I'd say about a year and a half ago, is it that long? Has it been that long, John?
Well, figure it out. Yeah, it's been where we started. It's in the wiki. There's a wiki.
We have a wiki. I think we started in like October of 2007 or something.
Or August or something like that. I can't remember what the wiki says.
Well, at that point, one of the discussions we had was about gold. And without getting, without backtracking all the way to that conversation, if you had been listening along with this program, you might have bought yourself some. And boy, you would have been pretty happy just about now. As gold closed at an all-time high of $10,050 yesterday.
Yeah, and it appears to be on an upswing.
Well, I was at, Leaky and I went over to one of those investor annual meetings for CrossLink. One of our investors.
Oh yeah, it's one of these. What kind of a meeting was it? Was it a big meeting?
Well, they're not a huge company or a huge fund. I think their funds are like $250 or $350 million. So in the realm of funds these days,
peanuts.
Actually, that's pretty good. But yeah, it's small. And they've only really done two major media internet investments. One was Pandora, and the other one is Mevio. So it's kind of cool how they did their audio versus video type hedge. Even though we're a lot of audio, but they're more on the music side. And so they have all their limited partners come in, and so they had a, of course, appropriately toned down for the financial crisis we're in. They had a reception at their offices, and they're one of the few VC funds that that have offices in San Francisco and not on the typical Sand Hill Road out in the valley. And it was nice. They had kind of like a thing. You walked around their whole office, and each room had a different type of food, and it was okay. I mean, there's only like 37 people who work at the entire company. But they're unique in the fact that they also have, as a part of their fund, they trade in the public market, so they buy and sell stocks. And this guy, Paul Sabo, he's their main trader, and so he's the guy that has a desk there with 18 screens all stacked on top of each other.
Horowitz has got one of these rigs.
My God, but he's so passionate about, because he's a technical trader, he's nothing fundamentals, it's all in technical analysis. He's so passionate about this stuff, and he showed me the chart for gold and his and all of his analysis. He says, "Well, I'm thinking 5,000 possible, but it could easily be 8,000. Like, wow, what are you talking about? And and he's been trading gold since we went off the gold standard in, what was that, 74, 75?
No, the gold. We went off the gold standard in the 30s.
Right, true. That's true. But the official going off the gold standard, as the wiki would probably say, was 74.
I don't know. That's dubious. But whatever the case, so he's been trading this stuff forever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was just, amazing.
8,000. What is he? 8,000.
He said. There is no. The sky is the limit. He said.
That's funny because in the around 2001 or just around there, when I was writing for Forbes, Dennis Neal, who's now with CNBC, was out here to do a Silicon Spin, and I had him write on a sheet, and I still have the sheet around somewhere. In 2001, I said, I don't know, because the economy was falling apart. I said, I think gold is probably a pretty good investment now. So I think gold's at like 330, and And yeah. He says,
"You're that
gold
old.
Will never go up. Are you crazy?" And so I had him sign a document that said, "Gold will never go up."
Oh, you have that? Do you have that document somewhere, right?
I do have it. It's in one of my boxes. Somewhere. I'll have to dig it up. Believe me, as soon as I find it, it goes online.
So I was thinking about our No Agenda stream and how you and I are working on turning this into a real 24/7 media stream that you'll actually want to listen to. And I talked to Paul about it, and I think that he would be happy to do, you know, like a conversation with me once a week. The guy is so passionate, and you know, wouldn't it be cool to just hear someone say "Gold 8,000"? I mean, come on, that'd be a great show.
Ridiculous, yeah.
But he has a lot of insights, and he doesn't care. He's happy to tell you exactly what he thinks, and a lot of these guys won't do that.
No, most guys won't do it.
And
that's
like,
the problem. But people should realize that there are so many people out there that have a lot of good knowledge, and they would, you know, and they don't really object technically to like sharing it because it actually helps them. You know, if you're a stock tip guy and you give tips out, and then the stock goes, you're in the stock, and it goes up, you make money.
Yeah.
But some people are reluctant. They're worried that they're going to get sued, or they're worried that they're going to do this or that. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of guys that just won't talk.
Yeah, and I told him about our biweekly media assassination No Agenda, and he's like, "Oh, I love that. I hate the media. They're such bastards." And I'm like, "Oh, this is a guy for us. He's right."
Put him on.
Tip. Hey, from time to time, I'll remind you that you still have a book to publish about your and I did talk to Paul about it, about your 80-year cycle, and he was like, "Uh-oh. Is that
is this thing on? Is this thing on? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Are
you
with something you? About a cycle book? Hello?
Something about a cycle book.
I think the Skype connection's gone bad.
Oh, it just broke. I wanted to ask you, because I've got some numbers here, and I don't know if they're correct, but they may sound correct to you, because you are the cycle man.
I'm a cycle man.
Cycle dude. Do you happen to know what the typical cycle of an empire is, John?
Toynbee, Arnold Toynbee, the famous historian, discusses empire cycles in his study of history. And the fact is, I mean, there probably is a cycle that's been observed. I don't know personally what it is, but Toynbee actually has the cycle deconstructed, but because of certain elements of the cycle, some empires can last longer by having certain characteristics. So I don't know that there's a solid cycle.
Well, I have a list of cycles here that I found in one of my cycle circles. And so we're currently the empire.
Was it a cycle circle of psychos?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in it. Currently the empire of the United States is, in 2010, we will celebrate our 234th birthday. Here's some other interesting numbers. The Assyria Empire, which apparently was 659 to 612 BC, that's a 247-year cycle. Persia, 538 to 330 BC, 208 years. Greece, 331 to 100 BC, 231 years. What is this? The T? I guess it would be T H E.
That's called the.
the, which was a great band in the '80s. The 206 to 27 BC. That's 233 years. The Arab Empire, 634 to 880 AD, 246 years. I'll just skip ahead to Spain. 1500 to 1750 AD, that's a 250-year reign. Romanov, 1682 to 1916.
I think we get the point.
So aren't we like just at the end of our natural cycle, and isn't it just time for this entire thing? I mean, it's starting right out front. We got to fold, dude. It's time. You got to know when to fold them.
Well, you know, one of the things that does happen during these empire cycles is this idiotic, you know, there's been more than a few of these empires, as it were, that have gone broke because they got involved in these wars. I mean, we probably could go on forever if we'd paid attention to Jefferson, who told us not to get our asses involved in these foreign endeavors, where we just all of a sudden decide to go to war with some country out in the middle of nowhere. And now, of course, we have Afghanistan, which is just so turning into Vietnam. It's hilarious. And we got this out of control general, this McChrystal guy, who thinks he runs the place.
And he's
even pissed
though
he's off. Supposed to be taking orders.
And he's a pissed off dude.
he's a psycho. I mean, the guy, they had him, his profile on 60 Minutes. The guy gets up at 4 a.m. and he jogs 5 miles through the streets, and then he does this and he does that. And he only eats one meal a day because otherwise it makes him logy.
Logy. I'm feeling logy. I can't get me no more towel heads if I'm feeling logy, boy.
So, I mean, the guy seems, you know, he sounds normal, but it sounds, when he describes his, like, way he lives, he's like nuts.
I'm glad you bring up the wars, John, because did you know about the $636 billion defense bill the Senate passed just 2 days ago?
That one got by me.
Shit, it slipped by me. Let me just read you a couple of highlights of this bill. So this was on Tuesday, $636 billion, which I didn't hear anything about this anywhere on any news report. This is
That's
from,
because nobody's going to...
Did we just lose you?
No.
Okay.
You shouldn't have, but you're going to probably.
You were saying that's because what?
That's because nobody's against defense spending.
Yeah, but I mean, we could at least report on it. Okay, forget about that. Reuters. Here we go. Some key. It passed 93-7. By the way,
107.
Why don't you look that up? Well, I read the main points. $128.2 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Hey, that's funny. Is it split right down the middle? I thought we were out of there.
Hmm.
Then it would end the production of Lockheed Martin's F-22 fighter plane. Okay, that's good, I guess.
No, not necessarily, but it's overpriced.
Right. Here's the interesting thing. This bill specifically prohibits the Obama administration from transferring international terrorism suspects currently held at the Guantanamo Bay military prison into the United States. I thought we were going to shut that thing down, Mr. President!
Okay, I got a clip you have to play now. Unless you have a few more things to read from the line items.
I just want to say that we've been hoodwinked.
You think?
Yeah.
So here, I want you to play the Ari Fleischer clip. Now, Ari Fleischer, of course, was Bush's old press secretary.
Isn't he the agent from Entourage?
Kinda. And he's kind of a stooge. Now, this was a back and forth conversation with a bunch of people discussing what Obama's going to do about Afghanistan, this, that, and the other thing. And Fleischer, now I don't know whether he was totally tongue in cheek when he made this commentary that you're going to hear, or whether he was sincere. And I believe he's probably sincere, but at the same time, it sounds so ludicrous. Like, is there any way that the Republicans can needle Obama to an extreme, or maybe needle the people that voted for him? Just listen to this clip where Fleischer is complimenting Obama.
Well, I think what we're seeing in President Obama's approach to this is encouraging. When it comes to counterterrorism, Barack Obama has actually been pretty good and pretty strong because he's left in place many of the George Bush policies. Principally, he has left in place secret renditions, warrantless wiretaps, the things that George Bush was most criticized for. Barack Obama, to his credit, has continued and is one of the reasons we're still doing well in the war on terrorism.
Yeah, exactly.
To his credit.
Good job, Barack. Rock and roll. Hey, come on by the ranch.
You know what's funny is that, by the way, I don't know if this was on Fox or one of the, I don't remember offhand where this came from, but they keep playing these damn sound effects right during the guys, because they'll have him talking and then they'll put a little graphic up, and instead of just sliding over some Chiron, like some information underneath, they have to put some sort of
a sound effect.
NFL sound effects. It sounds like Monday Night Football.
I know. It's nasty. Well, but this is the thing that it you know, the underestimation of the internet and how we've connected our neurons to each other. Yeah, it's still kind of through keyboards and fingertips and all that, but the people are catching on. This is why everything has to be ramrodded through, why everything has to be passed really quickly, because we're catching on. You know, like eventually someone's going to say, "Hey, wait a minute." The first thing, all this bravado, all this bravure, and of course we have tons of YouTube clips to remind everyone that the first thing President Obama did when he was in office was to say, "I'm going to close Gitmo." And he's not. He's just not going to close it. They've already said, well, you know, we can't close it. John Stewart was all over gays in, you know, the gays in the military, don't ask, don't tell, which now all of the secretaries of all the different defense forces have said, well, you know, we don't. The president's too busy right now. He's way too busy to be doing that.
He's too busy traveling around the world giving speeches.
He's watching the MTV Awards. He's too. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's right. Exactly. He's watching Kanye. What's his name?
And let me tell you, man, you don't want to piss off gay people. Okay, this is just not a good idea because they actually don't give a fuck and they will go and protest in your front yard. They really will, and it's going to get attention.
Yeah, there was some gay guy on the O'Reilly Factor the other day, and who was just irked. You can just tell irked. These guys aren't going to put up with this much longer.
He's just irked, just a little bit. Oh, before I forget, on the gold tip, I've shown you my gold coin, right? The 1 ounce coin I have.
Yeah, you carry that in case you end up you carry around a gold coin and some other weird coin, I might add.
That's my military coin.
Some military coin that will get you into a military bar, I guess.
No, that's when they throw me into the FEMA camp. I show the coin, they'll let me out.
Okay, well, you got these two weird coins you carry around with you all the time.
It's kind of like the PBA thing. You drive, you know, you
right. Then
you
this gold
around.
Coin, if by the time that you think that things fall apart, you'll have a gold coin in your pocket you can pull out, and it'll be worth millions of dollars. You'll be
yes.
King.
I will buy some bread for everyone. Anyway, the U.S. Mint is stop minting them. They're like, ho, we got to stop making those because, of course, they don't have any gold anymore. And this is kind of a precursor to what happened, what Roosevelt did when he prohibited the hoarding of gold coin and gold bullion and gold certificates within the United States under Presidential Executive Order 6102, if I recall correctly. But that was back in 1933. So that could happen all over again. Well, you'll have to give up your gold.
Give us your gold. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead.
Where's that from?
That's from a Monty Python.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, this guy goes around, with, you know, during the plague. He said, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. He's holding around a big cart full of dead guys. And then one guy comes out. He brings out a guy who's still alive. He says, he's dead. No, he's alive. He's dead. No, I'm alive. And so then the guy clubs him over the head, and then they throw him
dead. So this ramrodding of all the bills, this is, of course, what happened with the stimulus package. And now it looks like they're going to try and do exactly the same with the health care bill. News came out yesterday, the day before yesterday. The Congressional Budget Office, who initially on the initial bill said, hey, this thing is going to cost us $2 trillion. Well, they've punched someone in the mouth over there. And so now the Baucus bill would apparently cost over 10 years $829 billion. But the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has said it will actually reduce federal deficits by $81 billion over that 10-year period and probably, quote, lead to continued reductions in federal budget deficits in the years beyond. So this thing is ready to go to a vote, and they're going to ramrod it through maybe as early as tomorrow that they'll vote on this. And, of course, another promise broken that these things would go online for at least 72 hours so we could, like, look at them and talk to our representatives about them. And there are even Democrats trying to stop the future posting of bills online in the future in general because, well, this is what you have your representatives for. You know, you don't have to read the bill, you stupid sheeple. Shut up.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of pathetic. Somebody dug through that bill because I guess had a copy of it, and they found there's an interesting, there's a thing if you don't have insurance and you don't do this, you don't do that, you're going to have to pay like a tax.
Yeah, it's $1,700.
Yeah, it's like basically a tax.
That the IRS will fine you for if you don't pay it. So it's
a
surcharge.
Tax.
Yeah,
of course it's a tax. Even Obama says, no, it's not a tax.
Well,
it's
hear?
A tax. So anyway, so it turns out there's a little proviso in there that the people who happen to be Christian scientists, that religion that doesn't believe in, you know.
They're exempt?
that doesn't want to have medical anything. Yes. So if you join Church of Christian Scientists, I don't have to pay that fine. So I think there's an out here for everybody.
John, yes? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my brother John. Since we've both recently converted to Christian scientivism, what is that religion?
You know, if it saves you $1,700, I don't think that's what I call a religion.
I was reading here, and I'll put this link in the show notes at noagendashow.com. So if they can't get it to a vote on Friday, they have a plan, which is to bake it into a shell bill. Have you ever heard of this process?
No.
So what they do is,
I would rather use the word incorporate than bake, because there's no actual cooking process involved.
Right. Okay. So they put it into another bill. They back it into that somehow. And then, and this will actually be H.R. 1586, a bill to impose a tax on bonuses received by certain TARP recipients, which, of course, is something everybody wants to pass.
Yes, they're either going to put it in that bill or a bill that protects puppies.
But I mean, how can you hide 1,000 pages that gets shoved into some other bill? Oh, by the way, your packet is a little bit thicker this morning.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
It's just a little bit thicker. Don't worry about it. Just press yes. And then they can apparently pass it. I mean, is that a common practice to do that kind of stuff?
I think it probably is. Not with bills that size, but I think it's been done a lot.
That's lame.
Well, I don't know what the big deal is. Look, the Democrats, we point this out over and over again. The Democrats own the place.
Yeah.
They want to put a bill together, they just go pass it. What's the big deal?
It's kind of even hard to verbalize the conversation we had on email with one of our producers, who was actually pointing out through some, and in writing, you even said in writing, it kind of is easier to explain how really the Democratic Party is actually inherently racist, and that that there are certain elements, probably the racist elements within the Democratic Party, who are bringing the president down. And that's why they're not able to pass anything, because they're just troublemakers, because they don't actually want the black man to succeed.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that.
And I can try and paraphrase it, although it'll never come out right, and of course I'll sound incredibly racist, but the thinking behind it is that the real racism is when you say, you know what, we've got to take care of these poor black people. We really have to take care of them. We've got to do something for them. That, of course, is really true racism when you put it into context. And then they start helping the, quote, poor black people. And then, oh, wait a minute, but one of those guys is now in charge. Well, that's no good. It's kind of the not in my backyard syndrome. So just something to ponder.
Yes.
During your day.
By the way, we got one of our contributors, producers, made this comment. It's Lee Donaghy in Yarmouth, Norfolk, UK. He says that since you're over in San Francisco most of the time now, that he believes that our international coverage is starting to suck.
No, that's, you know, and I received this note earlier, and that's inherently untrue, because we do a lot of stuff. We were talking just about the Lisbon Treaty just on the last show. We've been all over the yes vote, which is not covered at all in the United States, which, of course, is the biggest travesty, because as this empire known as the United States comes to its natural 240-year end of cycle, the next empire is literally being built, constructed before our very eyes. It is the European Union. Tony Blair will be the president of this new empire. It's already been set up. He became a Christian after he was booted out of office in the UK. He became a Christian and then, you know, kissed the feet of the Pope specifically to have all of this, have all the right credentials. And all that has to happen now is we need two signatures, one from the Polish dude and one from the Czech dude, and it's done. And the new empire has been created, and we'll be nothing. We'll be a joke.
The new empire is China.
I don't know, man.
These Europeans are crazy.
Well,
There's a good blog post. You just check it out on the Dvorak.org/blog. You'll see it's got a picture of the EU flag with a skull on it. This attempt to turn them into some.
By the way, he became a Catholic, not a Christian.
Well, it's kind of the same thing.
No, it's important. But not quite. It's important to just.
So anyway, the point is that this is just festering a civil war, as far as I can tell.
A civil war, what, within Europe?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, when the United States, when we put all these states together, you know, it took less than 100 years before they
got
80 years. They got started getting mad at each other because, oh, wait a minute, you can lord it over me. I was here before you were. Who died and made you king?
Right.
And we had this like kind of battle going on. And of course, slavery was part of it, but it was really, you know, the South still calls it the war between the states, and the North calls it the Civil War, and it was both. And the fact of the matter is, it was just like everybody getting mad at each other. So they took two sides.
Yeah.
You know, they divvied up, you know, I'll be on your side, y'all be on. And they had a big fight, and they killed like more. I think we killed 4 million Americans. We got more percentage killed we killed each other more than we did in foreign wars.
Yeah, but Abraham Lincoln ended slavery, John.
Well, he did. Was a good move on his part because it actually screwed over the South, who was trying to get help from the French and the British. And as soon as that happened, that was once the Emancipation Proclamation went into play, that these foreign nations weren't going to get involved.
You know,
but anyway, the point is that this kind of thing with just states that were pretty much, you know, they were kind of a little different. Yeah, obviously the people that were in South Carolina weren't the same as the people that were in New York. But you're talking about huge cultural differences in Europe.
Yeah.
That and long standing hatreds. My granddad was killed by the Nazis.
Give me my bike back.
Yeah, give me my bike back, Dutch. And so
that hatred is gone, by the way. That the young Dutch do not even know what happened in the Second World War.
Well, they need to be reminded.
Yeah, they will be. Don't worry. They will
be. And so the point is that, you know, and of course you have the you know, the exhibits. But anyway, at some point, something about cheese or some screw job or somebody's going to do something that's going to really irk one of these countries, and it's going to fester.
Cheese. Something about cheese. Well, listen, John, you know the theory, and we've discussed this before. You have the United States, which will soon enough be the North American Union with Mexico and Canada. Then you have the European Union. Then you have the Asian Union, which is where China comes in. And then that'll all be rolled up. This is the whole Trilateral Commission idea, man. And then it'll all be rolled up into one world government up at the top. At least that is the long-term plan.
They always plan on that, but then people...
It takes a long time. It takes hundreds of years to do this shit.
It'll take thousands. There'll be another... We're going to have another war.
Yeah, you think? I'm sure there will be another one somewhere. But, you know, 2012 is quickly approaching, and that's when it all ends.
Well, anyway, so this guy says we're not covering this stuff that much.
Well, I disagree. I think we are covering it. And it's also up to the producers. You know, the producers put together 70% of this show by sending us interesting leads the whole day. And by the way, you know, I'm a little bit early for this part of the show, but all day long, John and I are emailing back and forth amongst each other with our producers, which is our audience, and, you know, we're debunking things on the spot, like, you know, this is, or John is, like, this is, oh, brother, this is bullshit. But, you know, we actually read all the stuff you guys send us, and we determine what we're going to do on the show. So if you want more European stuff in there, send it in. We're desperate for good stuff.
We're not that desperate, but always looking.
So speaking of Europe and the United States, of course, in most countries in Europe, they have what is known as a VAT, a value-added tax, which in some countries is... Hold on.
Turn down your speakers!
Just a little loud, John. In some countries is...
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, well, then get some headphones! In some countries, it's 19%. In some, it's 21%. In Belgium, I believe, it's 22%, which is getting to be like a quarter of the amount, which is, you know, is really.
And by
up
the
there.
Way, when any Americans are in Europe that are shopping around and having to pay these ridiculous, you can take paperwork out and you get it back.
Yeah, you can. You can. I was even able to get VAT back on aircraft fuel. If I made an over the channel flight. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi on Monday was on the Charlie Rose show, and she thinks that a value added tax might not be a bad idea for the United States.
Yeah, I've heard this. They just want to tax us every way they can.
It's a tax. That's a tax. This is exactly what's happening. It's like, oh, we got $700 billion for the military over here. We got $800 billion for the healthcare. We're not going to tax you except for the value added tax.
You know, in California right now, we pay the sales tax is 10%. It's really annoying. I mean, this is very high.
Yeah, it is.
So every time you buy something that costs $10, you have to pay 11 for it. But that's on top of the fact that we have a federal income tax of typically about 30%, and the state income tax is a flat 10% for just an income tax. So besides the 10% sales tax, you have a 10% income tax, and then there's all these taxes on your gasoline and everything. If you go to the airport, you know, you buy a ticket, they have them on sale of a Southwest
airport tax.
There's $70 for these $49.95 because there's $5 here, $5 there. Yeah. If you take a look at your cell phone bill, there's all kinds of taxes. We're paying about 65 to 70% taxes, period, in the state of California.
Time to move. This place is bankrupt.
Yeah, it's bankrupt, and all this tax that they're collecting, I don't see what they're doing with it. The roads have potholes. They have these scam things like this phony bridge addition that they're doing, which, like, they could have done a million – they could have built a second bridge cheaper. I mean, from the East Bay to San Francisco. The whole thing is just – and then the thing that you're going through where they're going to tear down a whole perfectly good part of San Francisco to put up a bus terminal. The other bus terminal, you can go in there. I'll go in there with you with a movie camera. Nobody goes to the bus terminal. There's only a few commuters. They come in for a few hours and they go. There's no reason for this fancy bus terminal. And then they're going to drive their trains over to that thing. So instead of being convenient where it is now, they're going to run they're going to run the underground tracks. So how are they going to get the trains over to there? I don't get it.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
I'd like you to bitch more about California on the show. That's really nice. That's good. I dig it. I really do. No, it's ridiculous. It really is. Ridiculous. You know, our president where was he? He was speaking in Virginia. And he said that, I wish I had a soundbite of this. I don't. I only have a news report. He said, we're going to follow Al-Qaeda wherever they take root. So I'd say, Europe, look out. You'll have American troops on your streets before you know it. So we're not just going to stay in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq.
So we're going to invade Hamburg.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. Very well.
Yeah, that's where there's tons of Al-Qaeda. Tired of this shit. Luckily, I believe in the ascension theory. I don't have to worry about it. We're all going to ascend to the light, John. It's going to be okay. Because, in one single candle can illuminate darkness, and no amount of darkness can snuff out the light of a single candle. You're a dick.
A candle can burn out.
Yeah, it can, but if we got a whole bunch of candles, we'll be good. Department of Homeland Security program that tries to detect air travelers who are, quote, up to no good is... is raising privacy concerns. Yeah, no shit.
Up to no good. Person's up to no good.
Jean Meserve described, she's from CNN, described the Department of Homeland Security's Future Attribute Screening Technology. I love these acronyms they come up with. Future Attribute Screening Technology, the FAST, as marrying a lot of existing technology, some of it medical, to measure breathing, heart rate, blinking, fidgeting, and other bodily functions. Don't fart when you're in line at the TSA, okay? You'll get singled out. And, of course, you won't be able to fart because you'll have that explosive up your ass. I swear to God, we're going to have anal examinations pretty soon. You know about that guy who had, like, some explosive jammed up his butt?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a kind of that caught some attention.
Yeah, so this is actually a report from France. What is the French Secret Service? What are they called?
The French Secret Service.
No, come on, they've got a name. They've got to have some cool like numbers and letters in there. Like the British have MI6, we have CIA. Anyway, the French Secret Service is warning for a new method that radical suicide bombers can use to attack.
It's the DGSE.
DGSE. As they will be carrying explosives in their anal cavity. So,
That's got to hurt.
I will bet you.
Blow it out your ass.
Hold on, I got to mark that one. I guarantee you, it is now a guarantee that within 5 years, you will have a guy shoving his finger up your ass when you want to fly to Detroit. This is just. I'm so glad we're all ascending to the light, John. I'm so glad. A quick report from some of our producers. A couple of reports, too, actually. One, because we're not always right. We don't know shit. The first one is about we were talking about voting machines and about Germany specifically. And a number of people, this is from Christian, but a number of people wrote it and said, you asked in the last No Agenda show if there are voting machines used in Germany. Let me give you some quick facts about it. Voting machines were banned in Germany as the Chaos Computer Club showed hacks of the computers in public. So they're using paper these days. Good on the Germans for not using the bogus Siebold-based voting machines.
Diebold.
Diebold, I'm sorry. Oops. That could get me a lawsuit. And then on last week's show, we played this clip.
I don't think it's about the sex or the eroticism. It's about foreign policy decisions. It may be some inner turmoil about the sexuality, but there's far more sexualized cultures around the world. They could go to Dubai, for Christ's sake, Brazil.
So we both jumped on Janine Garofalo, and the way she phrases it is indeed, you know, it's bullshit because it's not a sexualized culture per se. But I got a lot of notes, one from our producer, Kendall, but also Mickey. She said, dude, are you out of your mind? Said, Dubai, it's the underground scene there is off the hook.
The underground scene, which I guess what Garofalo would be in, is hardly the same as a sexualized culture.
No, I agree. So I'm agreeing on that, but just so there's no confusion that the underground, and I did not know this, because I've been to Dubai, I've stayed there, and of course, I didn't get an invite, but it, you know, it appears that there's like hookers, blow, alcohol, you name it, anything
there's
you want.
There's that in New York City.
Yeah, but in Dubai, they throw tourists in jail because you're kissing on the beach.
Yes, which means it's not a sexualized culture. There just happens to be a sick undercurrent. Okay. I mean, there's not a country in the world that doesn't have that. We have to assume so. I mean, go to Hong Kong. There's back alley action going on there, too. I mean,
so to speak.
I mean, there's like, you know, the same thing in Vietnam. I mean, they have like all kinds of rules against all these things.
You're reliably informed? You're reliably informed?
The point of the matter is that it's not a sexualized culture. It's like a very repressed culture that happens to have an illegal underground of sexuality or perversion or who knows what. I was never invited to a Dubai scene, and I wouldn't go.
John, if I was invited,
like that, I think that's completely nuts.
If I was invited, I would definitely go, and I would report back. I would take one for the team.
Yeah, you might end up taking one for the team. Monsanto.
It's time once again to look at everyone's favorite company, whose stock, by the way, is doing extremely good. They made an extra...
Extremely well.
Well, they made an extra penny per share above what was expected on the street. Their stock now above 70. Report here that... this is pretty interesting, actually. The... is it Australia? I think it's in Australia. There's this pigweed, as they call it, which Roundup can no longer kill.
Yeah, I love this pigweed story.
Yeah. And
I like the name of it, too. Pigweed. Oh, I've got pigweed.
Yeah, so this stuff has just become completely immune to Roundup. And farmers are now freaking out, but Monsanto was saying it's the farmer's fault. It's now they're blaming the farmers. I mean, what
it's
is going on?
Blame the farmer.
There's a little a clip here we can play. Maybe there's something interesting to listen to. Hey, Huckleman's.
What's the path to becoming a rock star entrepreneur?
Oh, I hate these pre-rolls. That sucks. Megan Duckett. Go away. All right, hold on. Here's the report. This is
we feature a battle that is underway down south. This is harvest.
Oh, this is here, not in Australia.
Valuable crops, cotton among them. And this year, farmers have a real battle on their hands.
A real battle on their hands.
A real battle.
I'm Charles Gibson. I used to be on an entertainment show. I'm the news expert. Real battle.
And some menacing weed.
Weed.
Seems to have a mind of its own. Steve.
It's fighting your bullshit.
Osen Sami has the story from Marvell, Arkansas.
Who wrote this? Did Monsanto give him the script?
Across the South,
it is the super weed.
It's the weed that man can no longer.
I'm sorry, I like this whole thing about weed. It's super weed. Hey man, let me smoke some of that.
Longer kill.
I'm afraid it's here to stay for a while.
It's called the pigweed. It's native to North America, and for decades, farmers have been able to control it by spraying their fields with herbicides. This past summer, Pace Hindsley and other farmers started noticing the chemicals were no longer working.
There's no rhyme or reason how we can control it.
The weeds have adapted, and this year they're choking more than 1 million acres of cotton and soybeans.
I think it's all set up. I think Monsanto has set this up so they can then sell us some of their modified corn.
Well, there's some element possibly of that, but I think it's essentially just another evolutionary. It's funny because I think a lot of these farmers believe that the Earth started 6,000 years ago and evolution is bogus. And keep spraying. There's probably one or two little weeds that live through it. They didn't mind, and next thing you know, they're the only ones living. It's a classic example of natural selection. It's a beauty.
Let's say you got two clips. You got one from. Did we do the Lieberman on FBI from last week? I don't think we did that. And we have Judgmental is another clip I have here from you. Why don't we do those, and then we need to get into our minute.
Our minute? Oh, the minute.
Yeah, the minute.
Okay, well, let's do a couple of these. Are just the miscellaneous clips. One of them I'm going to bring up because we don't talk about it much because we decided the whole thing is just another distraction, which is the acorn. So they had the woman who the head's acorn, and she did her own investigation with it internally. Like that's going to do any good.
We fired people.
And we fired people, but there was just something interesting that she said when she was apologizing for the whole thing. Then they took a quote and they read her quote, and in there was a comment that I just have to say something about. Play this little clip on her.
By Thursday, Martha.
Well, Trace Acorn is back in the news today. Bertha Lewis, the CEO community activist group leader, has just released the details of their internal investigation now. This after employees from several Acorn offices were caught. Lewis saying, quote, "Yes, I terminated those employees. Some of them, it was very sad. Over 10-year veterans, mothers, grandmothers who thought they were doing the right thing by not being judgmental."
Okay, there it is.
Judgmental.
But I'm a murderer. Well, let's don't be judgmental.
This is like a reverse racism thing or something. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It's like political correctness gone nuts. So they had all these people that were it was natural for them. I've seen these movies for them not to be judgmental because being judgmental is politically incorrect. Yeah, it's a bad thing.
It's
to
like
do.
If you have a limp or something, not if you're a prostitute and bringing in underage girls.
Yeah, but no, can't be judgmental, but that's the whole liberal notion.
Yeah, it is. That's what's killing us. Although I will say when I watch Glenn Beck, who I haven't seen in a couple days, actually, what is kind of interesting is he and others are now using the fake setup, which was a fake prostitute with a fake pimp bringing in fake underage girls to become prostitutes. They've now turned that into Acorn allows prostitutes to bring in girls from Nicaragua. It's like, well, hold on a second. It was fake. You know what I mean? It's like they've really turned that into fact instead of what it was, which was a setup. So, but anyway, you're right. It's just a distraction. So we don't watch the $700 billion that is being spent on the military and Guantanamo Bay, which will not be closed. Don't look over here. Nothing to see here. Oh, look at that.
Okay, now the other clip I have is Lieberman, who's just a groupie dog guy, and he's at a hearing And this is one of the committees on Homeland Security, and he has these different people on. I only want to play this one about New York. I think it's a clip that says something about New York.
Yeah.
And it's just really kind of just a bunch of window dressing where they bring these, they had these different agencies on, and they had Neopolitano, whatever her name is, and, you know, going, she's going, wow, and she's just a bureaucrat.
She's the Incredible Hulk is what she is. Doesn't she look like the Hulk?
She does a little bit, now that you mention it. So does that woman from the EPA. But anyway, so they've got this new agency that's kind of a super agency, but whatever the case is, they have the one guy from the FBI there too. So he's answering the following question, which is just, it's just so insincere. And then Lieberman comes off with a bunch of bull that's obviously just meant to be put in a publication someplace.
And he's always the guy that goes, I really thank you for your service and your dedication and your time. And
he calls these people American heroes.
Yeah, thank you for getting up and having bacon and eggs.
Right. So let's play the Lieberman clip, and you're going to just go. It's an eye roller from beginning to end.
Dr. Mueller, I have tremendous regard for the FBI and the New York Police Department. There were some news media reports about some disagreements between the FBI and the NYPD in the investigation of Zazi. I've had the occasion to talk to both you and Commissioner Kelly about these, and I wanted, to the extent you're comfortable, just to ask you to respond briefly for the public record on that. How are your relations with the New York Police Department?
I think our relations are exceptionally good as they've been in a long time. I do believe the news media exaggerates issues that come up in any investigation.
Okay, you don't say. You don't say.
We talk ourselves through our New York office with NYPD. It's not just daily, but because we're embedded in each other's shops, we're working closely together day in and day out. The New York Police Department has done a remarkable job in understanding the domain and allocating resources to address threats. And relationship, I think, is as good as it's ever been at this juncture. And the exchange of information through the Joint Terrorism Task Force has been fulsome and enabled us to take the steps that we've taken to disrupt this latest.
They waste a lot of valuable C-SPAN airtime, don't they?
Unbelievable. But anyway, you got to listen to the. It just gets better.
Latest threat.
I appreciate hearing that. As I said to you when we talked about this, I had occasion to be with Commissioner Ray.
You know, I actually saw this live, John. I know what's coming.
Kelly of the New York Police Department the other day asked him the same question, and he gave exactly the same answer.
What?
Verbatim, no less.
Wait. He says he talked to the
There was no answer.
And he gave exactly the same answer.
Yeah.
Just national treasures. And
national treasures!
In terms of law enforcement encounter. Terrorism, and I'm reassured to hear that you're working well together.
Yeah, you know what? I think that when they open up the anal probes at the TSA, Lieberman should go first. Send him through first.
You know, I watched this with. It's just like, why are we wasting time with this bullshit?
Yeah, and you know, and by the way, C-SPAN is starting to irk me because on. The Dish Network, I only get C-SPAN 1 and 2. Do you get 3 somewhere?
No, I don't get 3.
Because all the good shit is on 3.
When did 3 show? I don't even know about 3.
No, you can only get 3 online, apparently. Or maybe it's on some cable systems, but you have to go to cspan.org, and then you have to drill down, and of course you have to have Windows Media Player. I think it does Real Player as well, actually.
Oh, that's modern.
Yeah, that's great. You know, give me some Flash, baby. And that's where all the really good committees are, because they always have the votes. They were voting on, like, I don't even know what they were, like some scam thing about going to remove some guy. Who gives a crap? It's like, you know, you're looking at, the Senate is on recess, and they play like some hokey music and show you a really high ceiling shot of the Senate floor. That's like a waste. Meanwhile, the committees, which are talking about, you know, the healthcare bill and other things are on C-SPAN 3.
Huh. Well, yeah. I should start looking at C-SPAN 3. I did notice the other night they had one of those situations like at 10 at night with two guys, the whole place dead empty.
Completely empty, yeah.
and two senators going back and forth with each other. Like, well, I think I will. Will the senator yield? Yes, I'll yield. You know, it's like just like Chip and Dale, these two chipmunks. And so the one senator, I think you're absolutely correct about this, senator. I yield back.
You rock.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, it's we got about 15, 20 minutes left, so let's fill that time with... It's the No Agenda Swine Flu Minute. Because it's arrived. The vaccine is here. And they've got video of kids being shot up the nose with this vaccine.
Yeah, the one that out of the one that came out of the blue, the flu mist.
Yeah, so there's this little video which is from the early show, which often features. Is that what Natalie Del Conte is on, the early show?
I don't know which one of the shows she's. It was that CBS. She's on the CBS show.
Oh, right, that's the This Morning or whatever. Yeah. So it's not quite as good if you don't see the video. Typically, it's fun to listen to the audio because maybe we will hear more things. But I will point out some key pieces of video that you are missing while this is playing. It's this is another huge setup to get us all on this fine vaccine.
First, though, the ongoing fight against the H1N1.
This is CBS, dude. This is that Harry Shearer, dude. So I think this is Natalie's show.
Flu this morning, America's biggest immunization campaign in history is underway. So we have a look at exactly how it's being carried out all over the country. Call it a day in the life of the H1N1 vaccine.
I love that. It's now a soap. A day in the life of the H1N1 vaccine.
Dr. Jennifer Ashton is here with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Harry.
And notice
morning,
how they have... A really hot doctor. Why is this doctor not in my doctor's office? I mean, I would be going for every scrape. Hey, baby, could you just take a look at this over here, please? Just kiss it and it'll be better.
The government has ordered 250 million doses of the H1N1 vaccine, which it anticipates...
which means there's no service for someone.
...will be enough to cover demand in the United States. But the CDC admits that getting the vaccine out will be bumpy at first. As 27 states report widespread activity of influenza, the long-awaited H1N1
vaccine... Have you seen these reports? I don't get it. I thought everyone stopped reporting, and now all of a sudden it turns out there's been 250 deaths in California. Did you know that?
I thought they stopped reporting.
Yeah, they did. But apparently CBS has data we don't.
...vaccine is rolling out.
One, two, three, four.
So this is awesome shots of people with getting this syringe up their nose, which I figured out, of course, is to stop people from, you know, more people will take it when they know it's not an actual shot because people don't like shots. But, you know, jamming something up your nose with a little bit of mist is not that frightening.
And when is up to individual states. The nasal spray variety available now is only for healthy people between the ages of 2 and 49 and will most likely be given first to those in the priority group that includes healthcare workers, children, and people who care for children. As the vaccine...
Hey, John, I care. Do you care for children?
Everybody does.
I care.
...rolls out, we checked out three different hotspots to see what's going on with H1N1 across the country. Terrell Brown is in New York City.
We are inside the Montefiore Medical Center. It's one of the first hospitals in New York City to receive the H1N1 vaccine. The hospital ordered 100...
He's opening up the fridge.
...vaccine. So far, 500 doses of the nasal...
And it's literally a fridge. It's like a Sub-Zero. It's just like, what are the, like when I got here.
Have arrived. Yesterday, two children were among the first to receive the vaccine.
Yay!
With
you're
only
gonna
a handful
die.
Of doses available, truth of the matter is, most healthy people will have to wait.
While waiting for the vaccine, Dr. Pat Crocker reports that
now, here's the cool piece.
Fallen ill in Austin,
now,
Texas.
Now, this, you can't see this, but they have a tent set up indoors, like a military tent, like a triage.
We opened this extra tent because of the high volume of patients we've been seeing locally. And it allows us...
And it looks really scary. You know, they got people walking around with flu masks.
Instead of taking them into the emergency department.
And as Mark Strassman...
So it looks like there's Outbreak, the Dustin Hoffman movie. You know, they got people in contamination suits and shit.
The consequences of H1N1 can be dire.
This is the intensive care unit.
And here's a throwback to the one we saw before, John.
At Oklahoma City's Children's Hospital. Up here, H1N1 has become a life and death fight. Three kids sick with the virus are critically ill up here.
So it used to be two. Remember, there was the white rich kid and the poor black kid. And now there's three. And one is Mexican. So
You know
it's
what? Somebody got irked. Somebody did a focus group and said, where's the Mexican?
Yeah, we need some Mexicans in there.
We're going to fight this together.
Two of them are...
We're going to fight this together.
Proving, but the third could go either way.
And then they show the black kid.
Oklahoma has become one of the state's hardest hit by H1N1. The virus has doubled the everyday caseload in the hospital's emergency room and changed the way this hospital does business.
So anyway, so the marketing push is on big time right now. To get us to take this vaccine. At best, it is just to take money.
And it's a money grab, let's face it. Now, one of the things that's interesting is the CBS really likes to harp on this Oklahoma thing. We got no numbers that show it's like the hardest hit.
Nope. We've looked. There's no news reports about it being hardest hit.
But we have those same two people.
I know why. I know why. Because they had the lights all set up. They just want, the lights are there. They just left the lights all focused and everything. So, they got to go back. It's like cheaper.
It's cheaper to shoot there.
It's a union thing. Exactly. Governor Schwarzenegger signed an executive order, declared a state of emergency in California. So that federal departments can do all kinds of stuff to vaccinate the people within their departments, and they have priority. And this, I'll put it in the show notes at noagendashow.com. And so there is a state of emergency for the swine flu. What's interesting, though, and I keep trying this at the office because we have a number of documented swine flu cases at the office. Mickey's assistant has been out for 3 days, confirmed swine flu. And it sucks. You got the flu. You don't feel good. And it kind of varies. Some people feel better than others, and some feel really crappy. But when you say to someone, you probably have the swine flu, what is the first thing they say? No! 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 I don't have the swine flu!
Well, you're like the only one that's just the opposite. You had like the sniffles.
No, I had swine flu.
I have the swine flu!
I gotta mark that one as well. That may be better. I had the swine flu. It was exactly in that period when there was 2 weeks in California. Everyone was saying swine flu can strike. The president was in Mexico. So, it was like I had it. But when you say to someone, oh, it's probably swine, even if I've tried different variations. I've tried, it's probably normal. It's just you probably have the swine flu. No, I don't have swine flu. Well, yeah, I mean, lots of people are getting it. It's like the flu, if you.
So they've been sold a bill of goods, and of course, everybody seems to, we have to admit or acknowledge the fact that Americans, especially since the George Bush administration, have become out and out superstitious.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's good, yeah.
And so saying you have the swine flu, If you just stay in denial, because if I think I have the swine flu, I might die. But if I pretend that I don't have the swine flu, I will live because of some superstition that the swine flu is this deadly disease. When it turns out, if they actually read these reports, they'd find it's a very mild form of the regular flu. Generally,
it's even admitted that way. They even say this, but then they show three kids who have had. I'm sure. I mean, every single study says, well, the people who died actually had like. Pneumonia, respiratory diseases. Anything. What? John?
Nothing.
You were screaming. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Are you going to put in the pet peeve thing again?
Well, I'll do it if you want it.
No, so I'm just saying, the super level of superstition is pretty pathetic, and that all you're doing is just uncovering it.
Well, that's kind of what we do on this show.
Of course, I might add, nobody at the office listens to our show.
No, one person, Andrew Grumman. Oh, and by the way, Mark, he has twins, and he was in the office the other day, and they were born prematurely, so they were in an incubator for a little while, and they're doing great now. And so we're having a meeting, and I try to shake these meetings up, and it's like, well, I can't, hi baby, I can't get the swine flu, because the kids can't get the swine flu. I said, well, they'll be okay, and they're really healthy right now. I says, yeah, but we have to get them the swine flu vaccine. I said, no, and they're like 18 months. I said, No, dude, absolutely not. By the way, under two, they're not supposed to get it. Well, the doctor says we should. I said, the doctor says you should give your twins who are 18 months old, you should give them the swine flu vaccine. Yeah. He keeps saying it's time. So I pull up the CDC sheet. I said, well, the Centers for Disease Control, who deliver this vaccine information sheet, literally say not under two. So you should take this to your doctor and shove it up his ass. And you know, it's confusing to people. And so so clearly his doctor is on the take, because I'm sure he gets paid X amount for each shot he administers. It's bullshit. Anyway, so we uncovered this stuff. We hit people in the mouth, and then we turn right around and we beg for money.
We have a lot of. We had some good donors because we didn't get really much at the beginning of the or after Sunday.
Well, we did get back on iTunes. Sunday. We got back on iTunes, so that might help us out a little bit.
Yeah, although I still get somebody complaining that we're still not on iTunes. I don't know what that's all about.
Well,
so
it seems to be working for me now. Everywhere else seems to be okay. So
anyway, we got some good donations. Eon Davies in Bridge End, UK. So we're still getting the international donations, $55. David I. McAnally in Rome, Texas, $104. That's a good one. Lee Donaghy in Yarmouth, 50, who's the one who says we're not doing enough European stuff. David Alston in Yukon, Oklahoma, and he wants us to, for $50, and he wants us to plug, and which I'll do now, freshamericanbison.com, which I assume...
Oh, is a meat racket.
It's a meat racket. I like buffalo, by the way.
I like it, too.
You had buffalo at a restaurant.
The other day, yeah. Which you said might not have been buffalo, but I'll believe it.
Yeah, I think you were buffaloed.
I like buffalo, too. I like all kinds of venison. I like anything that is not fed on Monsanto corn, essentially.
Elk is great, by the way. That's but we need somebody out there who listens to the show who is an elk.
So what's the guy. This guy has a website? What was the website again?
Fresh American Bison.
Great, thank you. Thank you for your donation.
Maybe we could order a couple of steaks. Then we have our 13th woman, Serena Swanson.
Hey.
In Bristol, UK, 50. John Richard. New Orleans, 75. Sterling Ellsworth, 77.77. And I don't know why I don't have Sterling's city. I'll dig it up for next time. Then we have Guy Bozy.
From France?
$100. Tel Aviv, and he thinks he may be the first Israeli.
I think he's right.
Well, that's kind of pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, first of all, thank you.
Yes, thanks, Guy.
How many shekels is that?
Probably about five.
Yeah.
Gilbert Bollinger, Gilbert Bollinger, actually, in Santa Barbara, 100. And then this is interesting. Nuts. I wrote something down peculiarly.
You can't read your handwriting?
No. I wrote this. Somebody's from Homo Sasa, Florida, and I don't think it's Gilbert, and I know it's not Mike Westerfield, who's just on a night thing.
Homo Sasa. Homo Sasa said what?
I'll have to look it up. Sorry. Tristan Lennon in Wagga Wagga, another 50. Anna V. There's another woman, by the way. We're up to 15. Anna V. Loizaya. Loizaya or Lozaga. Loizaga. That's what it is. Sorry. Davia. I love these names. Anna V. Loizaga Davia.
Yeah, great job.
She gave $50.01. She wants us to say happy birthday to her boyfriend, Beto, Beto Echezarreta.
Hey, happy birthday, Beto.
And he's in Cancun. Life's tough. So, Chris Clark in Oviedo, Florida, 69.69. We love that one. Anyone who does 69.69 should
always gets an extra mention. There's nothing like the 69.
Ezra Phillips in Antwerp. I think this is our first Antwerp guy, $50.
Very possible.
Which is about 5 euros, I think.
Yep.
San Colecchio in Charlotte, North Carolina, 100. Was that San or Sam? It says San on here, but it should be Sam, I think. I don't know. And then, of course, John Schumann, who is our executive producer for this week from Madison, Wisconsin, $451.
Eva just walked in, Mickey's assistant. Eva, what did you have? Come closer to the microphone. Hold on a second. Let me, you were sick, right?
Yeah.
What did you have?
Flu.
What kind of flu?
Don't know.
Come on.
H1N1.
Yeah, thank you. Just wanted to hear. Could you please, like, lick me?
He's already, he'll ruin the show if you lick him. Don't do it.
She had swine flu?
And
she lives!
Who is this?
This is Eva, Mickey's assistant.
Oh, and she had swine flu?
Yeah, she was out for 3 days. What did you have, like fever? Yeah, you have coughing?
Have her describe the symptoms for people.
Hold on a second. Would you mind coming over, Eva? Let me just turn off the noise gate so we can actually hear her. Hold on. Turn that off.
I think my son may have had swine flu last week.
Okay, Eva's going to describe her symptoms.
So, stuffy, coffee, fever, headache.
Stomach?
No stomach. No, short of breath, no energy.
Really? No energy?
Yeah.
No sex drive?
No sex drive.
Swine flu, John.
Ask her if she were her lungs aching.
Were your lungs aching?
No.
But you were short of breath?
Yes, short of
breath. She was short of breath, though, John.
So she had coughing, fever.
Coughing, fever,
fatigue.
Aching,
yeah.
Short of breath.
And fatigue.
Yes.
Anything else that we should know about?
No, that's pretty much
it. Okay, what did you take?
Sudafed, Tylenol, paracetamol.
Yeah. And how many days was this?
It started Saturday, so about 5 days.
5 days. 5 days. And she lives, and she looks fine. Let me just check
her
out.
She had Tamiflu or what?
No, she didn't. She looks great, by the way. Nice rack. She looks great. She didn't take any Tamiflu. She took Sudafed and Tylenol.
Huh.
And she lives.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, there you go. Hold on.
There's somebody on the radio the other day that, you know, they were talking about swine flu on some sports show, and somebody's friend died.
Yeah, well.
So all rush out.
You know what? I had a friend die the other day. I forgot to close the minute.
It's the No Agenda
Otherwise,
well, let's get back to these donations and mention to people that they should be donating, and they should go to Dvorak.org/NA or noagendashow.com and help us out. I'd like to see more of the $5 a month subscriptions. We actually only pick up like one or two. It's like actually kind of low, because somebody suggested this as a great idea, and I haven't seen any evidence that anyone's really picking up on it.
$5 was supposed to work really well. Have we gotten any more layaway nights? We don't talk about the nights very often. Well, we do talk about the nights themselves.
We have about three of these guys in play. Westerfield, Father Ralph, and
when they've done their $50 a month and they become full fledged knights, we should have some kind of like Masonic ceremony, shouldn't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I like that.
Well, okay. We'll talk about the knights on Sunday a little more, and then I can mention the guys that are currently going for it.
Because I think the knighthood actually involves a blowjob. Hey, you know what? You give us $1,000, I'll blow you. No problem.
The guy's cheap. So
yeah, exactly. And your point is, Dr. Dvorak?
So there's also, I think, somebody, unfortunately, the problem is if people want to send us stuff use the code No Agenda in the subject line. And if you want to send me something that, like, for example, somebody did about 4 days ago, say, you know, you forgot to mention me.
Oh,
I'll mention you. But the problem is I have like 200. I mean, even though I don't get any spam, I get lots of email. If you send stuff to me in particular, if you want, like, if I forgot to mention you or I pronounce your name wrong or something crappy, and you want me to make it up to you, send me the note the night before we do the shows. In other words, send me a note on Wednesday night with No Agenda in the subject line and something else, or Saturday night. And the likelihood, because it's all everything
you know what
I
we
do,
need, John. What we need is we need an assistant.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Now, so are you done with all the donations?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, thank you all very much.
And thanks for the people who give us smaller amounts, too.
Yes, we appreciate that, too. And a lot of you give smaller amounts, so we don't mention you, which is fully understood. Feel free to give us many of the smaller amounts, if you want. We do this as a as a service, but we can't do it for free. We spend a hell of a lot of time working on this program.
In torturing fact, ourselves.
We got up early this morning because I have a doctor's appointment I have to go to. So we, you know, we're always delivering a show to you no matter what. And we'll do it earlier rather than later if we have some kind of conflict, because life sometimes just does get in the way. And we do it twice a week. And you know, we're always working on doing more. We've got the No Agenda stream, which we're working on. Thanks to all the... I mean, we must have like 25 or 30 people who want to be a stream manager. We're now meticulously going through, interviewing people, talking to them, finding out if they can do the job that we are dreaming of, and that will, you know, some of the money from that you donate will go to that person, and eventually we'll have like a little business, I hope.
And I want to also do a shout out to Bubba Martin,
yeah,
who does our cage match, and he fell ill.
Yeah, we hope he's doing better. He is doing better, but we hope he stays healthy. John, just to wrap it up, I'd like to give you a pop quiz.
Okay, Pop.
What book has sold 25% more copies in the first half year of this year than it sold in all of last year, shipping a total of 300,000 copies so far? What book could it be? Hold on a second. I have... Again, your question.
Atlas Shrugged.
At least let the Jeopardy theme get in there a little bit.
Yes. What is Atlas Shrugged?
Yes, you answered in the form of a question. You are correct. You can go on to the Daily Double. That's right. Atlas Shrugged is seeing a huge resurgence because people are seeing the complete connections between what Ayn Rand wrote and what is happening today at this very moment. So it's time to go Galt, everybody. And again, something you heard on this show first before it became mainstream knowledge.
Unfortunately.
Have you read it yet, John? Are you one of the three?
Yeah, I read it last week.
Yeah, bullshit. You did not.
This guy named Galt? Someone should stop him.
He's a jackass.
All right. I think we've had just about enough. Would you mind... just starting the book, John?
I read it last week.
You did not. It takes you a month to read that book.
I read Fountainhead in one sitting.
Okay. Well, when you read it, you'll go, hey, damn, Adam, you were right.
I can say that anytime you want. No, just send me a memo.
I want you to read it.
Bring it up in a meeting.
Yeah. Oh, I'm almost done with Death by Meeting. What a great book.
Oh, yeah, I got to read that.
Yeah, I mean, that thing you can read in 2 hours. It's a good one. Anyway, if the minimum containment cell has not been torn down by then, I'll be back here on Sunday bringing you another episode of No Agenda. Coming to you... Well, hold on, let me say my name.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No, I'm Adam Curry.
Ah. So, meanwhile, it's foggy here in Foggy Bottom, Northern Silicon Valley, and I should be here, I think. I don't think I'm going anywhere this weekend. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Sunday, apparently, right here on No Agenda.